We talk about that there are five places, Chamisha Chumshinhen. There are five places where there's a Chumash. Chumash we've seen all over the place. This will be a good chazar for us. But I'll just already speak out to you. 25%. Yeah, 25, exactly. A fifth, adding a fifth.
Not
25%. 25%. That's right, that's right. So you'll see that Mishnah is going to have the more than five things in this list. So what it says, five categories. I conjecture the reason the Mishnah did it with five is to parallel the previous Mishnah. I'd like to make it memorable. Because you'll see there's more than five on the list. It's like five groups of things. The first one is the rules of Truma. Ha'ochel Truma. If you eat Truma, or Trumas Meiser, or Trumas Meiser shall demai, or Vechala, or Bikurim, I'll explain them in one piece by piece. In all those cases, you're most of a Chomesh. So this is a little confusing. That's why I wanted to read the whole sentence first. There's five items on that list. That list of items, which we'll call Truma, only counts as one of the five items on the list of things that have a din of chomesh. Yes, it's a little confusing. But anyways, the point is, five categories of things that have chomesh halachas. The first category is truma, and truma actually comes in five flavors, if you will, and these are them. So now let's take it piece by piece. You recall truma, a paradigmatic truma is truma gedola. That's the first tithe you take to get the kohen from your produce. Midrabanan, it's 2%, so that's what we give. Midorais, it's anything. You recall this from Yad Masechas Trumas, a whole Masech on the topic. So, the din is that it's for a Kohen, and if a non-Kohen, a Tzar, eats it, so then there's a Mitzvah Yedei Shemayim, that's bad news, and if he did it on purpose, well then he has to just give it back. But if he did it on accident, B'shogeg, he ate it, then he has to replace the thing he stole, plus B'mosef Achomesh, he has to add on a fifth. So if he stole four grapes, he'll have to give back five grapes. Okay? So that din is if a non-Kohen ate four of a Kohen's Truma grapes, that was supposed to go to Kohen's Truma Gedola, he'll have to return back a Chomesh, a fifth grape, when he makes restitution. Fine. Now, that Truma law actually comes in five flavors. The first is Truma Gedola, as I just told you, the first tithe, but then that's the Truma. But then Truma's Meiser is flavor number two. If you recall, after you give your 2% to the Kohen, you give your 10% to Levi, and the Levi takes up a tenth of his Meiser, Rishon, that he received, and gives that to the Kohen also. So the Levi actually gives 10% of what he gets to the Kohen, and that is called Truma's Meiser, the tithe on his Meiser, and that also has the exact same halachas as Truma Gedola. So that means that it carries with it the Mitzvah Yedei Shemayim, and if a person eats it on an accident, he has to make restitution, adding a chomesh to it.
It's no separates it. That whole tenth that he was given, the blade that he was given, is tevel, right? Once he separates and gives it to him, his remainder is just plain old stuff.
Correct. Correct. Exactly right. Exactly right. Even a non, we paskin, even a non lady can eat that miser, not a problem. Which is what we do. There's a sheet of a mayor we've seen floating around from time to time that heals just for Kohanim, but just for Levim, I should say. But anyways, yeah, correct? I only mention that because we've seen it in the Mishnah, so I wouldn't bring that up even. Fine, so that's the second thing. The third thing is Trumas Meiser Shel Demai. This is a good review. So this is really Trumas Meiser Midor Rabbanan. If you recall from Gudol Masechas Demai, we had this, in the beginning of Bayi Sheni, they took a survey, sociological study, and they found that while most Amoratzim do tithe their produce before they sell it, but a significant minority don't. All they do is take off Truma Gedola. And they figure, oh, Truma Gedola, that's bad news. I want to poison my friends. I'll give that to the Kohen. But they figure, oh, the rest stuff, who cares? It's just Meiser, whatever it is. Anyone can eat Meiser, so what's the big deal? The problem is, embedded in the Meiser is the Trumas Meiser, the 10% of the 10%, which is got the same bad news stuff. And therefore, we had a special din of Demai, which means when you purchase something, you look at it and you say, from an Amaretz, you say, duh, this, my, what is it? You don't know the halachic status, and therefore Midura Banan, even though Midura Raisa, you can rely on the Rov, in the time of Chazal. Today there is no such thing as Demai, it's a joke. If they do or they don't, obviously. But in their time, most people did. But so the rabbi said you have to, out of doubt, take out that tenth of the tenth if you purchase foodstuffs from Amaretz. So we're talking about that here. If you eat that Truma, you have to make restitution, adding an extra chomesh. It's just a rabbanan, because midor raisa, you could say we go after rov and it probably was done already, but midor rabbanan you have to, so that's the chomesh here. Fine. Yes. Va'chala. Yeah, also had the Sol Masechet Chala, which is the first of your, when you make dough. You make dough, and this is halacha l'maisa, in your kitchens, make dough. If you have 43 and a fifth batesim worth of flour in your dough, and you're going to be baking it, so then, as opposed to batter for pancakes, whatever, if you make baking it, then you have to take out a piece of the dough to give to the Kohen, okay?
How many cups is that?
It's before, here's the halal halach lamaisa, I only know in kilos off the top of my head, okay? So, but the sugar comes, darn it.
Is it more than a kilo?
Yes, it's more than a kilo. Yeah? It's up to 1.2 kilos, there's no hafreshes challah. Between 1.2 kilos and 1.67 kilos, I forgot, I assume every Jewish wife has that measurement. I forgot how many cups. I forgot, they tell you. It's like a bag is a kilo, and then they have like an extra, I forgot, it's one or two or three cups. I don't remember.
I think a kilo is around 6 cups.
I don't know, but it's 1.2 to 1.67 is a question mark. We're mafresh challah, but without a bracha. And then from 1.67, onwards, one, or oh, it's 1 point.
Of flour?
We're talking flour, only flour. Yeah, 1 point. After that and onwards, then we already take it with a bracha.
You don't count the water salt.
No. It's good. We're talking the flour part of it, flour component of it. And there's, yeah, fine. That's lach lamaisa. But anyway, so the point is, you take that first piece of challah, it's the first piece of dough from the kneading bowl, and that goes to the Kohen also. Bezman is that we take all these things, I should point out, I should remind you, this all has its halachic application today. Let's assume that all these mitzvahs are midi rabbanan today. Let's assume that. But in any case, you do take truma, you just don't give it to the Kohen, it gets destroyed, and you can take just any amount, right? Because midi raisa, because they don't know the Kohen, and B, because they're not tahor anyway, so they can't eat it themselves. Something can be done with it, right? And the same with, that's a truma and trumas meiser, that's all removed and destroyed. Challah, the minhag is, they remove a piece of challah, women take a piece of challah, and then they make a bracha on it, if it's got, you know, you got enough dough there, and then they wrap it up in tinfoil and burn it. Okay? If you, they have other etzas, I just, if you care, I'll give you some practical. You have a practical problem. You have a practical problem. Practical problem is if you throw it in your oven to burn it, you could chafe up your whole oven. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, so
you wrap it in.
Yes, you grab it in tinfoil and burn it. But then, just FYI, it doesn't burn so easily in tinfoil. But so, anyways, there's lots of things you can do, but they're all. You know, in the old days they threw in the oven, but in the oven those days was like it's like a fire on the bottom of the pit, so that was that. Okay? You actually can chafe up your oven by putting it not wrapped up in tinfoil on the cookie sheet. That makes a cookie sheet have bleas of isser, chal is usser, serious isser. So, for what it's worth, what the Paddles household does, if you care, is we actually keep all challah in the freezer, week after week after week after week, wrap it up in little tinfoil balls, put it in the freezer, and then on Erev Pesach, you defrost it, and then you have to defrost it, and then you burn it with the chametz. That's what we do. That's what we decided to do to not trape up our oven.
With the foil?
It's best to take out the foil, or just you can burn it if you open the foil a little bit. If it stays wrapped, the foil doesn't burn great. So, but if you defrost it, it's, and you make sure it's not tightly wrapped.
If I wrap it, then there may be essence of tau on the foil.
No, we throw the tinfoil in. I'm just saying, you just like, oh, make sure it's not, you know, airtight. That's what we do, anyways. For what it's worth, take it or leave it. Okay. Obviously, if you forget your challah in your freezer over Pesach, then you're gonna have a lot of fun. But obviously, don't do that. Okay, fine. Now that's challah and bikurim. I mean, that's not funny. So the last of the five is less intuitive. It's Bikurim, Bikurim, Ohed HaMesech, Bikurim also, way back when. It's the first fruits that you have of your Shiva Saminim, just those first five, the first, those fruits, the olives, grapes, figs. Olives, grapes. Oh, that's what I wanted. Olives, that's what I was thinking, sorry. Yeah, olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. In that order, Okadima, Aradeka, first pride. Yeah, that's right. So those five. There's a mitzvah to celebrate your first fruits and bring it to the base of Mikdash as Bikurim. And the pasuk in Re'e refers to Bikurim as Truma, Trumas Yedecha. So because of that, it's also truma. And if a person eats bikurim instead of giving it to the base English that go on him, he has to add a chomesh. Fine. If it's all bishovi. So that's category one of the chomesh halachas, the truma. Number two is hapode netzer avai u'maiser sheni shelo. That's another category, which is also a bit of a stretch. Two separate dinim, but let's talk about maiser sheni for a second. Maiser sheni, you'll recall, after you've taken your piece of the kohen, your 2%, let's say, and then your 10% of what's left, the remaining 98, you give 9.8, 10% of that to the levy, you're left with 88.2, and that you have to take another tenth off. Some years it goes to the poor people, years 3 and 6, and some years, which is the year, we're in year 4, is that what we came out, the cheshbon? Year 5?
You're
not sure. Okay, we're still not sure. But whether it's 4 or 5, in years 1, 2, 4, and 5,
I think
it's 5. We have to look, this is not hard to figure out. But anyways, years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle, then you take your second tithe, and it is brought to Jerusalem. Okay? If you don't want to schlep it to Jerusalem because it's too heavy, we're in year 4, that's what I think we're 2. So if you don't schlep to Jerusalem, as we discussed as recently as yesterday, you can redeem your produce onto a coin and bring it up. When you then go and spend the coin in Jerusalem, you have to add capacity so you can add an extra 25% to the value of what you're purchasing in Yerushalayim in place of that Maaser Sheni. In other words, just speaking out again, for argument's sake, I'll illustrate the point. Let's say that you have four cups of wine that's your Maaser Sheni, and you don't want to schlep the cups of wine up to Jerusalem, you want to eat over there. So what you have to do is like this. Let's, for argument's sake, assume that a cup of wine is worth 10 shekels. So you'll have to redeem the kedusha of those four cups onto 50 shekels. So when you go to Yerushalayim, you'll spend 50, the kedusha transfers from those coins, from those wine onto the coin. You take your 50 shekels to Yerushalayim, and over there you'll buy foodstuffs, edibles in Yerushalayim, 50 shekels. So that you're adding a chomesh, you're adding an extra, a fifth part to it. That's a din by Maaser Sheni. Now the Netta Ravai, we discussed this also back there, same also in the Sefer Maaser Sheni, is your, we just had Tu B'Shvat yesterday, so this is that. In the tree's first 3 years, its produce is Orla, can't eat it. Then on its fourth year, which kicks in anything that blossoms from Tu B'Shvat and onwards, in its fourth year of life, exactly measure the years we discussed, we're not discussing again now. So in its fourth year, that produce essentially has the same dinam as Maaser Sheni and has to be brought to Jerusalem and eaten over there.
What do you do today for Netzer
Ravai? Oh, you asked that question last time. I didn't know then. I still don't know now.
Right now
did we look into it? Did we look into the halachas? So you asked, someone asked me last time. It's so obviously perfectly reasonable question. What did we say? What did we say? What do we say, halacha? I don't know for a fact. I can only assume, but they poured it onto a coin on Zeloze. But
it starts from Tubishvat?
Yeah.
So if it's planted...
It's a little complicated. The calculus is a little complicated. That's what
so
I get there now.
Less than 4 years.
Yeah, because as long as it was planted 45 days before Rosh Hashanah...
Four years ago.
Let's get into it. Whatever. Let me look at the dinam, and then we can figure out your plant also. But the... Its second year begins after Rosh Hashanah, because remember the mention in Rosh Hashanah that the Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah, the first Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Netiyos, saplings, but Tu B'Shvat, according to Beis Hillel, Havi Baskin, is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. Remember that, Ilanot? So it's like weird. But anyways, the halakha might be too complicated, but I don't know the din about what to do. I'll look into it and get back to you. I assume we just poured at the kedusha, but I'll look into it.
Is there a concern if you go ahead and put the value of, let's say you've got a bushel of grapes?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you put them on the slab, so you put them on the wine, you add whatever it is. Then when you get to your shalayim, you can't buy as many.
That doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah, that's a din. It says Maaser Sheni. It's but the current value over there. Exactly right. It's a fair shmish over there. Yeah, that's a din. Now, so that's that. So that's that's Netzer Revai. I'm going to find out halacha what we do today. I don't know. I have two important questions to ask about today then. And those things, the most chumash, that was only the second group. That's only the second group of chumashes. The third group is apodas hekdesho. If you redeem your own hekdesh, that means you dedicate your own property to the base of mikdash. And then, remember we discussed sometimes things have kedushas a guf, like this cow is going to be a korban, then there's no redeeming that cow. It's permanently donated to the base of mikdash, and it's got intrinsic kedusha to it, it goes in the mizbeach. But other things, you can say, I'm giving my wristwatch to the base of mikdash. Then you can redeem that. The base of mikdash has no need for wristwatches, it wants cash, so therefore you can redeem the wristwatch, and when you do, you have to be most of an extra chomesh. If it's a $40 watch, you have to give the base of mikdash $50 if you want to deconsecrate your wristwatch and get it back. It's dafka yours. That's why it says shalom, or hekdesh shalom, I should say. If you, and it said shalom by Meister Shane, I should have pointed out. I'll get back to a second, but hektish here, it has to be your own hektish you're reclaiming and deconsecrating. If I give my watch to the base of mikdash and then they go sell it on auction to get money and you buy it, you buy my old watch that now is the base of mikdash's watch, you will not add a chomesh. It's only if I'm redeeming my own stuff and the chomesh. By the way, the same dinam apply, if you remember back from Meister Sheni, that it's when you redeem your own stuff. Remember those mishnayos started discussing like how you could trick the system, and like if we go together and I deconsecrate your stuff, you deconsecrate my stuff, then you don't add in the chomesh. Okay, fine. That's that. Avanena mishava pruta min hekdesh. This we just saw moments ago. We said you're over meila once you get a shava pruta's worth of benefit from base mikdash property, but you're only most of chomesh if the thing you benefited from was worth a pruta, in which case you have to add a extra chomesh when you turn it. You give karen of the stolen good plus a chomesh, an extra 25%, plus you bring this asham meilas. And hagozlos chavero shavapruta. When, remember, we said when you steal from your friend and have to leave shavapruta, then you swear to him you didn't, and then you admit that you did. Besides, for bringing it back to him, you have to eat most of a chomesh, so that's you have to also give back an extra chomesh from what you stole. That was a separate din by the person who swore and admitted that he lied when he swore. So those are the five. Those are the five chomeshes. Let me just sum them up so it's clear. The first category was all the things of truma. If you eat it accidentally, you have to give back to the kohen plus the fifth part, meaning 25%. The second is the thing you bring to Jerusalem, either in the form of Netzer Revai or Meister Sheni. If you deconsecrate your own stuff, you have to add a 25% to the value. The third case was if you redeem your own hektish, you consecrate something to the base English and redeem it, you add a fifth, and you get it back. The fourth case is when you you're misappropriate hektish when you replace what you ate, when you were mile, you add a 25%. And finally, if you steal from someone and then swear you didn't and then admit you did, when you pay back, you have to add an extra fifth also. So those are the five chomishes. Tov. Oh, wait, time. Everyone's moving as if like time's over, but we're not getting very...